Philippians chapter 4, we've been talking about grace. We've been talking about God's ability in us, through us. We've been talking about His desire to be with us, to work amongst us, to work through us, that we are the light of the world, that we are a city that is set on a hill, that the world should see our good works, and that those things that they see coming through our lives should be evidence that God is good, that they would turn and give glory to God from the things that they see working in our lives, that it can't be us, right? And of course, you know, that's miraculous things or obvious miraculous things, but not just what we would call obvious miraculous things, but loving our enemy. These are miraculous things too. When we do good that to those who haven't done good to us, when we speak well of those who haven't spoken well of us, this light is the light that is supposed to be shining through our lives, whether it's evidently miraculous or not so evident. It's God's character, His nature, His power, His love, everything that He is being expressed through our life. That's His grace. That's the grace of God that He wants to be seen through us. Amen? Apostle Paul said, His grace toward me was not in vain, but I labored. I labored more abundantly than all of them. But not I, but the grace. In other words, it was God's ability, God's power. But in that power, in that ability, I labored. So, are we moving out in what God wants us to move out in life? Once again, of course, that may be evidently miraculous things, but it may not be evidently miraculous things. It just may be you doing what you couldn't do in yourself. Loving what you couldn't love in yourself. Stepping forward into what you couldn't step forward in yourself. Right? Stirring up the gifts of God. Not being intimidated. Not getting into selfishness. Not getting into yourself. But stretching out and knowing you've been given a spirit of love. Power, a sound mind, amen? Moving forward with God's mind, His love, not selfishness, but stirred up and ready to go. One thing that the Lord, I believe, put on my heart is when we know what God is leading and saying, sometimes we need to be a little aggressive. Not aggressive in ourselves, and not just aggressive for something we want, but when God has spoken, we've got to be a little bit aggressive. I mean, you think about Jesus, when He went to His hometown, they were verbally persecuting Him, saying, isn't this the carpenter's son, blah, 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 blah. And then it goes on to say He could only heal a few sick folk there. Now, we know, and it says because of their unbelief, but He, in that midst of so much unbelief and verbal persecution, He still was aggressive to reach out to the ones who would receive. It was just a few. But He still had to be aggressive enough to find the ones who would receive, who would believe in receive, and push aside those verbal assaults that were coming against Him and open up for who would be healed. I mean, that's being aggressive. I mean, it's one thing when they're pushing so much and they're pressing you, but this is where Jesus had to be aggressive. We know that He was aggressive to speak the truth when the Father was speaking things that were not always well received. There was other times where they tried to pull Him into an argument and He wouldn't go for it too. Right? All right, that was my introduction, I guess. So, a little recap. Because we've got to know what God is saying. And when we are at peace in our spirit that it is God, then we've got to be aggressive in that. But not when it's us, but when it is Him, when it is Him, knowing that there may be opposition, there may be things coming against, and we may have to be aggressive. As Paul said, I labored more abundantly. But not I, the grace. He said, I worked hard, but it wasn't me, it was the grace. I knew what God was calling, and I pushed in that. And God strengthened me. God enabled me. God brought me through because I was doing what I knew He told me to do. Amen? So, it's time to be aggressive in what God would have us to be aggressive in. Actually, hold your place there. Just go over just to the right, just a little bit in Colossians. We did this last week too, this verse. Colossians chapter 1 at the end of chapter 1 there. The last two verses. Colossians chapter 1, verses 28 and 29. For Him we preach, speaking of Jesus Christ, Him we preach, warning every man in teaching every man in all wisdom, that we may present every man perfect in Christ Jesus. To this end, I also labor, striving according to His working, which works in me mightily. Look at those words. Labor, striving according to His working. So what's the key? We find out what Jesus is doing in us, or what He desires to do in us. We take His yoke upon us, right? And what is he? He's gentle and He's meek, right? Get a little feedback. He's gentle, He's meek. And so as we take that yoke upon us, we move forward with gentleness and meekness. What does that mean? It means it's not our agenda. We don't rise up in ourselves and say, I'm going to go for it. I'm going to do this. No, it's meekness or gentleness and meekness. But when God is moving, we definitely have that yoke upon us and His burden is light. And then we can strive and we can labor. And it's not in our strength. It's not in our ability because He has already called the shots. This can build faith in you for what He has for you to step into, what He has for us to step into. Amen? Because how often do people, maybe not even realizing it, they're so holding back, not doing what God would have them to do. And in the flip side of the coin, they may be laboring very hard out of their own understanding, laboring very hard for this or that, but it's not with the yoke of Jesus on them. Now, Philippians 4, in verse 13, we have that famous verse, and I guess rightfully so. I can do all things through Christ, or I can do all things through Him who strengthens me. What a verse. I've heard it said, you know, it needs to be taken in context. Well, I think we can get more out of it if we take it in context, but it's a truth right there. We can do all things. All things would be all things through Christ, who does what? He strengthens us, which means He gives us strength, He gives us ability, He gives us will, He gives us the fortitude, He gives us the gifting, He gives us the grace, He gives us the wisdom, He strengthens us to do whatever that is. Now, I want to just bounce up a little bit up in chapter 4 here, because Actually, let me just look at verse 11 and 12. I want to just point out a couple words. He says, not that I speak in regard of need, for I have learned in whatever state I am to be content. I know how to be abased, and I know how to be abound. Everywhere and in all things, I have learned both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. Now, he used the word know twice, and he used the word I've learned twice. So this was something he had learned to walk in. Paul said, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. He's using that as an example, but he says, I know this now, and I have learned this. In other words, he didn't just say, I got saved, and bam, it just happened. No, he says, I learned to do this. I learned how to do this in Christ. And in fact, I can do all things in Christ who strengthens me. He adds that on to, I can do that through Christ who strengthens me, and I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. And giving his example, he says, I learned how to do it. We can learn how to function in God's grace. And I don't think there's one message where we can just wrap that up nice and tight and say, here's how you do it, because there's different things. But I just want to point out a few things here. Look at in verse 4. Philippians 4, verse 4, rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. First thing there that he petitions us to do is to rejoice in the Lord. This is not an event before I preach to rejoice in the Lord. Rejoicing in the Lord is to be an attitude of our heart through the day that we continue to pull ourselves out of whatever and go back and focus ourselves back on the Lord and said, he is good. No matter what I'm facing here, he is good. And he is able. And he is good. And remembering his goodness, remembering his promises, remembering things that he's done in the past, and putting our attention back on him and becoming glad again in him. It may mean you shout and spin, but probably not going to do that most of the time during the day. It's going to be an attitude of the heart, this rejoicing in the Lord always, right? Yeah. We're talking about learning to function in the grace, because as long as we have our eyes on circumstances in ourselves, we're not going to function in his grace very effectively. But as we learn to put our heart and our eyes back on him and see him clear, that's why we were praying and worship and asking him, God, open the eyes of my heart. This is something he wants to do. This is something he needs to do. And if he doesn't do it, we're not going to know how awesome and how good he is, and we're going to be limited. But as he is revealed and as we continually put our attention and our focus back on him and rejoice in him, then he's able in a greater way to release his grace through us. Let me say it again. Paul said, I have learned. This wasn't something he learned in school. This wasn't just some common sense he learned. He was talking about doing something in the power or ability of Christ. I have learned this. And then, we actually heard this on the radio on the way here. Verse 5, let your gentleness be known to all men. The Lord is at hand. Be anxious for nothing. Has anybody here ever been anxious? He says, be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. So he says, where there is anxiety, let that be turned into prayer requests with thanksgiving. Not, if there's tears, if there's sorrow, okay. But make sure it turns into thanksgiving. Don't stay there. Weeping endures for the night. Joy comes in the morning. If there's tears, don't stay there. Make the petition. Make the supplication with thanksgiving. And then what does he say will happen? Let your request be made known to God, verse 7, in the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds through Christ Jesus. So there's the first, we see here, doing all things through Christ Jesus, who strengthens us. Paul says, as I took my anxieties, and I'm changing this a little bit, personalizing it for Paul here. Paul's saying, as I brought my petitions, my anxieties, where there was fears, where there was worries, where there was unsettledness, I brought these things to the Lord. He may have not had great emotions at the beginning, but I made these into prayers and I turned them into thanksgiving, remembering God, remembering who He is and rejoicing, turning that into rejoicing. And then over time, I found where there was anxiety, there was peace, that was beyond my understanding. Are you getting this? This is something we can all do. It's a practice as we take those anxieties and bring them to God, knowing He cares, and we bring them to God and we turn them into things. We make the prayer, God, help me, God, whatever, and then we thank Him. Peace of God, and the peace of God which surpasses all understanding will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. It's not a natural peace. It is a work of His Spirit in Christ Jesus, right? This isn't, hey, just quit worrying. And you, okay, I quit worrying. I can't do that in myself. It's I have a part to play. But as I do my part, then in Christ Jesus, a peace comes. That in His Spirit, His Spirit, in my spirit, a peace comes that I couldn't put there myself. Are you kidding this? And then he says, finally, brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble. So are we thinking on truth? Am I thinking on noble things or things of right character? Whatever things are just or right, whatever things are pure. Am I thinking on pure things? Whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of a good report, if there is any virtue, and if there is anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things. We've got to catch ourselves. What am I thinking about? Say it this way. Think about what you're thinking about. Are you thinking about what you're thinking about in the day? You got to think about, what are you thinking about? Think about, what am I thinking about? And not just go with the flow, because we can say, you know what? I'm not gonna dwell there anymore. Amen. And we're maybe if there's a real deep ditch where we're thinking about something negative, well, that's where we bring that to God. We bring that anxiety to God in prayer with thanksgiving, and God will bring a peace that we could never bring. Amen. Verse 9, the things which you learned and received and heard and saw in me, these do, and the God of peace will be with you. We know God is with us, but how many of you know that sometimes we can go through life, God's with us, we maybe don't feel His, not just feel or experience His peace in the areas of our life. Well, we have a part to play. Amen? We can't do His part, and He won't do ours. We can't do His part, and He won't do ours. But anything He has us do, we can do. Right? Verse 10 again. But I rejoice in the Lord greatly that now at last your care for me has flourished again. Though you surely did care, but you lacked opportunity. So what, you know what's going on here, right? He had been very down and out at certain times. The Philippians came through a second time and gave him a huge love offering that brought a great blessing into his life financially. He says, verse 11, not that I speak in regard to need, for I have learned whatever state I am, to be content. He says, I'm not so happy. I'm not so excited about this because, wow, I was really hating not having enough money in my pocket. He goes, I wasn't thinking about that. He's like, what got me so excited is that you cared and you did what it took, that you put feet to your faith, that this is real to you, that we brought the gospel to you, and you have shown once again through this that this is real to you. So verse 11, not that I speak in regard to need, for I have learned in whatever state I am to be content. I know how to be abased, and I know how to abound everywhere and in all things. I have learned both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. You know, that's, I'm not going to go off on that specifically too much, but that's one thing. It sounds, maybe if you just read this casually, it sounds like, well, is that such a big deal? From my observation, not people in the world, most Christians never learn that. They don't learn how to be abased. When there is not enough, they're worried. They haven't learned how to abound when they got extra. They don't know how to use it wisely a lot of times. This isn't me being judgmental. I'm just saying, Paul said, I've learned this. It's God's grace in my life. And then he says, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. This was a learning process, seeing who Jesus is, putting my focus on him. Him removing anxieties and putting his peace in as I brought those anxieties to him in prayer. Watching where my mind was and catching myself when I'm thinking on things that I shouldn't be thinking of. And as I did that, he brought a peace into me. And so whether I'm abased, I'm abound, I'm cool. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Isn't that awesome? That's the good news. That's the good news. That's the gospel truth right there. Hallelujah. Jesus is coming for a bride with a spot or wrinkle. He's perfecting us. Only he can do it. But we got to allow him to do it. Amen? I can't do it. I can't change myself. But I can come to him. I can meditate in his word. I can look to him and rejoice in him again. Amen? Let's do one more scripture in Matthew chapter 10. Are you getting something out of this? Encourage me. We need to encourage people in the grace in their life. Encourage them in the right direction. Not encourage them in the wrong direction. But encourage them in the right direction. Amen. Are you in Matthew 10? Mateo. I hear pages turning. All right. Now, this is Jesus sending out the 12 apostles here, his disciples, the one he made apostles. He's sending out the 12 first before he sends out the others. And I'm not going to go through all the issues here. I'm not talking about evangelism per se tonight. But how many know that when Jesus sends people out into anything, into life, he wants them to do it in his grace? When we wake up in the morning, he sends us into that day, and he wants us to walk in his grace. Amen? So there is some little, well, I shouldn't say little, but there are some things I want to point out here that scream grace. That scream, I got grace for you. I want you to walk in my grace. I want you to walk in my ability. So Matthew chapter 10, verse 5. These 12 Jesus sent out and commanded them, saying, do not go into the way of the Gentiles and do not enter a city of the Samaritans, but go rather to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. And as you go, preach, saying, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Heal the sick, cleanse the lepers, raise the dead, cast out demons. Freely you've received, freely give. Now, when he says raise the dead and cleanse lepers, I mean, it's kind of a given there that you're not going to do that in yourself. It's going to take something outside yourself. It's going to take God. But I love what he says after he says to do it. He says, you are given this freely. I didn't make you earn it. You guys didn't do anything good enough to earn this. I gave it to you free. And so as you go give it in the same way I gave it to you free. Don't size people up and say, I don't know, you're kind of a jerk. Well, God's going to heal that person. Well, they're really spiritual. But that gay guy over there, I don't know if God will heal them. God will heal anybody. He's good. It doesn't, the gifts flowing through our life isn't a stamp of God's approval on us that we do everything right. It's a gift given freely. And he says, go give it the same way. That's good news. Amen. Verse 9. Provide neither gold nor silver nor copper in your money belts, nor a bag in your journey, nor two tunics, nor sandals, nor staff, for a worker is worthy of his food. Now, whatever, let's stop there for real quick. I've talked about this before, but it's very worth mentioning again, especially one point I want to bring out. Sends them out and says, basically, take nothing with you. Why? Because a worker is worthy of his wages. I want you to be provided by the people you go to. I want to give them opportunity to provide for you, because by them doing that, they are honoring God. They are honoring the message. The other side of it is this. He sends them out and he says, don't take any of this. That means they have got to trust. Now, he doesn't say, now go out and just stuff's going to fall out of the sky. He said, people are going to provide for you. But there's a principle here. He didn't say, you know, well, he did say they were going to go into cities and some of them wouldn't appreciate him and et cetera, et cetera. But the principle is that they would always be provided for somehow, some way, right? But how would it be? What would be the main way? Through people. And so we see this in grace, in God's grace to provide. There is a natural element that God tends to work through. So don't let that throw you or whatever. God will. Do I dare use the word manipulate natural things to bless and to provide? Making sure natural elements line up as we trust him, as we do what he's calling. They were going out in obedience to Jesus, not just doing their own thing. They were going out in obedience to Jesus, and they had to make sure that they didn't bring what they had so that they would rely on that. Because that would cause them, one, to not be relying on God taking care of them, and two, it would hinder people being able to bless them, possibly, and God wanted to give them that opportunity. Verse 11, right? Are you with me? Now, whatever city or town you enter, inquire who in it is worthy, and stay there till you go out. And when you go into a household, greet it. If the household is worthy, let your peace come upon it. But if it is not worthy, let your peace return to you. Now, I'm going to give you just a general idea of what's going on here. They go into a city. They find out who is willing, who is possibly somebody who is willing to take them in, who takes in, who has the room to take in strangers. This was a big deal in this culture. It's obviously the completely other way in our culture, but in this culture, in their culture, this was a big deal to take care of those who were traveling, and who is worthy, who had the ability to do so, who would be willing to do so. And so they would find out who that was, and then they would go there. They would greet the household, not just, hey, how you doing? No, they would greet the household with God's peace, God's shalom to this house. This was a prayer and benediction, a blessing upon this house, not just empty words. And he says, if they in turn receive you and receive the message, then that peace that you have released is going to be in their house. He said, but if they in turn say, you know what, you just need to move on, and they don't receive, he said, your peace will return to you. What's the message there? That you lost it some for a moment, that moment there? No, he's saying, no, you're regardless if your peace is in that house where you're staying. If they reject you, you still have my peace. You still have the blessing of my kingdom. Don't worry. I'm with you. I'll take care of you. Right? Look at all these aspects of grace. We see it in sending them out, doing miracles. Freely receive, freely give. Now, don't take anything with you. I'm going to make sure that you're provided for through people. When you go there, release peace to that household. And if they reject you, you still have my peace. Verse 14. And whoever will not receive you nor hear your words when you depart from that house or city, shake off the dust from your feet. Assuredly I say to you, it will be more tolerable for the land of Sodom and Gomorrah in the day of judgment than for that city. Behold, I send you out as sheep in the midst of wolves. Therefore, be wise as serpents and harmless as doves. But beware of men. And as Apostle David likes to say, Jesus never said, beware of the devil. He always says, beware of men. Of course, we need to stand against the devil. But beware of men. For they will deliver you up to councils and scourge you in their synagogues. And you'll be brought before governors and kings for my sake as a testimony to them and to the Gentiles. But when they deliver you up, do not worry about how or what you should speak, for it will be given to you in that hour what you should speak. For it is not you who speak, but the Spirit of your Father who speaks in you. Okay, that's all I'm going to go through here. And I want to just look at verses 17 through 20 again. But beware of men, for they will deliver you up to councils and scourge you in their synagogues. And you'll be brought before governors and kings for my sake as a testimony to them and to the Gentiles. So, when it looks like, okay, I'm going to be well-received in some places, and they're going to receive the gospel, they're going to receive the truth, it's going to be wonderful. Some places they're not going to receive, and I'm just going to take my peace with me and go. And some places they're actually going to take me and bring me before the council. Okay, that doesn't seem like God's grace. But Jesus says, oh, that was the opportunities for you to bring the gospel to some people you normally wouldn't get to preach it to. Isn't that what he said? As he said in verse 18, you will be brought before governors and kings for my sake, as a testimony to them and to the Gentiles. But when they deliver you up, do not worry. I don't know. Put yourself in the context here of what's going on. A Jew going out, being captured by Roman officials, usually with in Paul's case and Jesus, it was the Jews that were the initial persecutors and pushed the Romans to judge them. This is what we see with Jesus and we see it with Paul. And so the Romans were pretty ruthless, right? And he says, this is your opportunity to bring the gospel, not just to Gentiles, but actually to kings and governors. What an amazing, amazing opportunity. But he says, it's important, and I'm adding that word important there, obviously, but he's saying it's important that you don't worry. Because what would be the natural inclination here? You're going to court with some people who aren't known to be real just and fair. And when they do convict somebody, they don't give them community service. Right? They're going to go pick up trash on the side of the highway in a little whatever. You know, no, it could be bad. So but he says, don't worry. Don't worry. Now, once again, this scenario in itself, or this exact scenario may not be your exact scenario today or ever, but the scenario of worrying could be of, how's this going to work? He says, no. Don't worry. I mean, I got captured. I was supposed to be, it was supposed to be great. There were supposed to people get healed and they were supposed to receive the gospel and I'm going to court tomorrow. And he says, no, don't worry. And he says, so obviously there was time between capture time and when they went to court time because he says, in that time, don't worry. And look what he says. Do not worry, verse 19, about how or what you should speak. So you're in containment, you're in prison, and all that matters right now is you're about to stand before a judge the next day or whenever. What do you got time to do? You got time to think about how you're going to address them, what you're going to say. And Jesus says, oh, so you're going to trust in yourself. Oh, okay. That won't work. Once again, this scenario may not be yours today or ever, but how many times when people worry, do they start to, how am I going to fix this? How am I going to fix this? And Jesus says, don't try and fix it yourself. Paul said already, when we read in Philippians, if you're anxious, take it to God. Don't worry about it. Don't be anxious. And here Jesus giving a more specific example. He says, you're going to be going to court. Don't be anxious and don't think about how or what you're going to say. Just wait. What does he say? Don't worry about how or what you will speak, for it will be given to you in that hour what you should speak. In other words, until he gives it to you, don't worry. Until he gives it to you, don't worry. Take his yoke upon your shoulders. He's gentle and meek. Just learn to rest. Remember, we strive and we press, but not in ourselves. We learn to be gentle and meek, broken. We don't do anything out of ourselves. It won't work. It won't work. We won't work. Have we not learned that yet? It doesn't work. Jesus says, here, you're in prison. You're going to think of, you can think of 100 things that you should say and how you're going to address it. And that won't work, but that will. I'm going to say that. And he says, no, because you're trusting in yourself. If you begin to think about how you're going to speak in that anxiety, just rest and wait for the Spirit to give it to you. And until he gives it to you, you just trust in him. And he says, just trust, it will come in that hour. And then look at what he says. I love this. Let's start at verse 19 again. But when they deliver you up, do not worry about how or what you should speak, for it will be given to you in that hour what you should speak. For it is not you who speak, but the Spirit of your Father who speaks in you. Look at how he says that. He says, if you don't go the route of man, of anxiety and worry, and figure it out yourself, then you trust in me, he says, it will be given to you. And then what will happen is when you go in there, it will actually be me speaking through you. It'll be the Spirit that speaks through you. God gets in there with his ability. And I've learned, Paul said, I've learned I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Right? Paul labored and strived, but it was never in himself. He was broken. He was gentle. He wasn't about to do something in himself, figure something out how to do it himself. No, rejoice in the Lord. Keep my mind in the Lord. When I have anxiety, I'm not going to try and figure it out or fix it. I'm going to pray and take it to God and give him thanks. These are things we can do. This is about walking in the grace of God. Amen? Amen.